Hello. What's up, everybody out there in interneter land? What is good? My people's brethren, YouTube is down everywhere. Get on over to Twitch and DLive. I guess I broke YouTube. What's up, y'all? Welcome. It does look a little different over here because we're on Zoom. And sooner rather than later, we'll get Anavaltis in here. In fact, I'm going to send the link over to him as we speak. We're talking about secession tonight, guys. We're talking about secession. Seceding ignoramus is my name tonight. Let's pop this on over to Anavaltis, and it's going to be a good, you know, I've had Anavaltis on a couple times. He's one of my favorite thinkers out there, and I, if you guys have any questions for him, and he hit me up, I think after my stream with John and Robert, where I think I kind of embarrassed myself a little bit. That was not my finest performance, but really excited to get Anavaltis on because I know that he's anti-secession and I'm pro-secession, and I'm really, really excited to talk to him about that. Let's fire this beat one more time. Just one more time, baby. Because that's the same channel as his. YouTube is down forever, for everywhere. Anavaltis is here right now. That's awesome. No parking bears here. Major victory. Might be wrong. Please give us your thoughts about secession and questions about secession in the chat. It's going to be a serious night. Let's get Anavaltis in the house. Right meow. Check out his YouTube channel. I'm going to do me a favor. If one of the mods can please find Anavaltis's channel and start linking it in the chat, that would be hunky-dory. Or, I mean, YouTube's actually down, so let's get him in here. Anavaltis. All right. Hello.
Hello.
Do you hear me? Hey.
Yes, hey. I am hearing you.
How's it going? Welcome, Anavaltis. We're live right now, and everyone's excited to see you here. And I don't know. Why don't you just introduce yourself real fast and tell us where to find you?
Okay. Hello, I'm Anavaltis. I'm a YouTuber. You can find me on YouTube at the channel Anavaltis. And you can also find me on BitChute as well.
Gotcha. Okay, so I'm going to make sure that we, throughout the program, I'll find your links and I'll, you know, kind of, YouTube is down basically worldwide right now, so we're kind of dealing with that. But you actually contacted me after the stream with Robert and John to talk about secession. And I think your general position is you're anti-secession, right? Like,
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. All right, so when I've had you on in the past, we've mostly talked about Koinonism, but why don't we start from the perspective of your government, your government that you created or whatever. Why do you think, I told my stream I would start with this question. Would a secessionist be put to death under Koinonism?
Not for being a secessionist, okay. But if you actually try to go through with it, that's a form of insurrection.
Okay.
And that would be a problematic.
Okay. Okay. That would be problematic. So what I was thinking about is, so if I tried to do, what is the recoil? Okay. I have a lot of angles I could ask about here, but I think I've asked you this live before, but you are opposed to the American Revolution.
Yes.
Okay. What should we have done? What should Americans have done there?
Well, we should have taken a legal battle, a political battle, going through the proper channels. And if that didn't work, then that's on them.
Mm. That them being the who are now the Americans?
No, being the British. As in, if they're governing in an unjust manner, and they ignore our recourse, then it is their fault for governing unjustly.
Okay, it's just their fault, but the. Does America get to become America at that point?
No.
Okay. So it's just their fault.
Yes. And
I don't know why it's so. I'm sorry for laughing. It's just. It's so counter to anything. You know that it's just funny that it's a comical way of thinking, but not in a bad way. It's just. It makes sense. I've been down this path with your thinking before. It's not bad at all. Actually, it's refreshing. But
because the place where my reasoning starts, okay. Is I start with God, okay? And all authority comes from God, and therefore all justice comes from God. And that means the government has a responsibility to God to be just towards its people. However, the people don't have an authority to overthrow their government and to depose the ruler that God has put above them.
So they don't have that authority. Okay, so they don't have the authority to depose them, but is there a way, is secession deposing your ruler if you just leave? If there's no violence, if it's just you are like, I want to leave.
Well, it is a deposition in the sense that you're deposing them from their authority over a certain portion of their jurisdiction. So they have authority in a certain area, and you're deposing them of that authority. And I think the analogy I would say is, do you think it's right to secede from God?
No. No, I don't.
And I think that for the same reason, because in the Bible, okay, it says that the government, the people that rule, are put there by God, and that they are ministers of God in a sense, and that therefore we have a responsibility to obey them. And that therefore, if we depose them and if we act against them, it is a sin.
Okay. And can you tell me where specifically that says, where that's in the Bible?
Romans chapter 13.
Okay. Okay. We were talking about this the other day. Yeah, this comes up so much on my stream as well. I mean, I don't really have my, you know. Okay, let's look it up. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. Yeah, okay. So here's a question I have about the Bible, and I know some people in the chat are asking stuff right now. So would that mean any time – what is sin?
Sin, it can be described in a number of different ways, but I would say that anything that categorically – involves a disobedience to God.
A disobedience to God. And is that anything that's told as a guideline is in the Bible is as sin? Like, what makes, are there things in the Bible that are told, you know, that are, you're told to do that aren't that if you break them, they're not sin?
Well, what we have in Timothy is the statement that all scripture is breathed by God, which means that even the parts of scripture that are written by a particular author, as is the case with Romans, for a particular purpose, have the foresight and the spirit, as well as the authority of God behind them. Now, obviously, contextually, there are certain instances where someone is being quoted, and that's not necessarily meaning that their quote is something that's true. For example, Job's friends in the book of Job, they say a number of different things that if you take it out of context wouldn't lead you down the right path. However, contextually, it is advice that they're giving to Job, but then in the end, God straightens things out at the end of the book of Job.
Okay.
Now, in Romans, it is a letter specifically sent to the church, and therefore, in the context of it, it is meant to be taken seriously in its entirety.
I see. Okay, so when it's, you know, when it's explicit, it's direct, and it's directed at believers, like Romans is, it is, you know, God breathed, or, you know, directly inspired by God. Okay. And thus a violation of that would be regarded as sin.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. So what is it to be? It also says not this exact same thing in First Peter. First Peter chapter 2. I'll look it up in a second. But it says to be submissive, though, in that chapter. What is it to be subject. Like, if you're to be submissive and to be subject, what if that involves violating God's law?
Then you follow the higher authority, which is God.
Okay.
Because if you were to obey them in doing something that is against God, that would be disobedience to God.
Okay. And so in that situation, you're not subject to...
Yes, because there's a hierarchy.
Yeah. Okay. So, and secession. So let's get back to secession. So I just want to basically kind of lay the definitional groundwork, because I mean, I'm kind of a simpleton, you know, I'm just like, why can't I leave? I know it does sound immature, and it kind of is, like, if you stack it in that, or people in my live chat lately have said, there's kind of a split that it is, but people that have said it's God, man, government, and because government is an institution of man. Do you agree with that, or can you make sense of that somehow?
Well, I don't think that government is I do agree that it is a tool and therefore does not have the same strength as a person, but we have to remember that government is operated by people. So I think it's fair to say that the hierarchy prescribed in the Bible is God and then the worldly rulers, and then the subject.
Okay. Interesting.
And a theological argument in favor of this would be, for example, An Homily Against Disobedience and Willful Rebellion by John Jewell.
Okay. I have a couple questions from the chat. So, you know, one thing I kind of do want to go through some examples, just like, for instance, do you consider the Israelites leaving Egypt to be secession? It's no, right? Because that wasn't their nation.
Well, the reason it's not a secession in the sense that it's seceding from a proper authority is for two primary reasons. One, God told them to leave, which means that his authority takes precedence. And two, in the end, they were actually allowed to leave by the Pharaoh. They didn't leave until the Pharaoh actually allowed them to.
Oh, okay. So if I can persuade them to let me leave, it's not secession.
Well, it would be a legal case of secession.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is immoral is a unilateral
case, okay,
where it's only the person seceding. I do think that in the context where there is a legal recourse or an authority that allows you to secede, then that's fine.
But it's like, in classically, that's not what secession is, though.
Well, when people talk about secession, most of the time, that's not what they're talking about.
Interesting.
They're talking about leaving on your own because you don't trust who's above you, or you have a disagreement with who's above you, and you're going to leave no matter what. And I don't think that that's moral. I think it's important to come to an agreement with the authority that you're seceding from. Now, in the case of God himself, that's not something that happens. That is to say, we don't secede from God.
You can't. Well,
not that there's anywhere to secede to.
Yeah. Well, that's Jonah, right? You know, Jonah said he was trying to run from God. He told the people on his ship that.
Yeah. Because it's God's world, and the rulers of this world are appointed by God.
Okay. So, let me do the chat one. So, Might Be Wrong says, so if God tells me to secede, I'm good. I think he's being a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but it's a good point. So at what point do you know, I don't know if you think about how Moses knew or how the Israelites know. How would one know if God says it?
They were explicitly told by God.
Yeah. Can that still happen?
I think it can.
Yeah.
I don't think it's very common, and many people would say that it's highly unlikely. But I'm not going to say that it's impossible.
Oh. Yeah, so Aircraft Sparky, yeah, this guy, he says, whoa, this guy thinks that rebellion is not moral. Yeah, check out our old episodes with Anavoltus. He's got a system of government called Koinonism. Why don't you just real fast explain, you know, we've got a lot of new listeners here now, what Koinonism is and why, you know, it's kind of like why you're so pro-authority. You kind of already did because you think it's like, you say it's ordained by God, but just what's Koinonism?
Well, Koinonism is a political ideology that focuses on having most of regulation delegated to the level of the community. That's social regulation, economic regulation, educational regulation. And then these communities together form a flexible infrastructure with multiple levels of government based on how many communities there are. And as the population expands, the communities can split and allow for a potentially infinite expansion without running into the same problems that a more rigid structure has, such as the federal system that the United States has.
Okay, so and you can't leave. Like, that just makes me. I'm sorry. It's so funny, man. Just I don't know why there's this mental block. But it seems to me that it's a good system of government, but it's like once it takes over, you can't leave it. So it's
In theory, you could migrate to another country.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's the same thing. That's how most countries operate.
Yeah.
It would be strategically disadvantageous for a country to willingly give up its territory unless the territory was really unviable for them to keep.
Yeah, and it's a national government. It's not necessarily global.
It could be global.
Yeah.
It just depends on how far it expands.
Okay. And
it could be intergalactic. Who knows?
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah.
I've designed it to be able to expand as much as to an infinite degree,
right? At each level. I mean, I'll pull it up in a second. So you think all authority is ordained by God? Is ordained a good word?
That's what the Bible says. Yes.
So and so, if a person or whether it be a body, whatever entity ends up as the ruler of a thing, whatever way it shakes out, that's because of God. Well, it's God in free will, which is under God. It means it's a bunch of people acting. And so how separate to you is the human action from the God element?
Well, I think that the Bible is very clear that God is in control and that he knows exactly what's going to happen and that he works to accomplish his plan. So in that sense, I don't think that there's anything that happens that surprises God or that God couldn't have prevented. So in that sense, insofar as it concerns injustice, the people that commit injustice do that out of their freedom in their human nature, and they will be held accountable by God. And also, potentially, depending on the system of government, they might be held accountable within the government if it has a system that facilitates that.
Okay. All right. What about I'm just going through the chat stuff right now. What about slavery? You know, like, should a slave seek their freedom? Is that the same type of like authority or like what do you think about that?
Well, if we really get into the deep theology here, we have this idea that we're technically all enslaved in some way. So this idea is that we serve something. And even if you are free in an economic sense, that doesn't mean that your actions are independent of your situation or independent of your allegiance or independent of your biology or your nature. So in that sense, the idea of absolute freedom is in some ways antithetical to the idea of goodness and lawfulness, because it denies the authority of God.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. And what you're saying, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, but the slavery, like, is there, are they their authority? Is the master their authority?
Yes.
Like, they, really? Wow.
Yes.
Wow, man. Jeez. So what's one to do? You know, it's like, what's one to do? So, wow, man.
Just do the right thing.
Are you, not only are you, so are you, not only are you saying that secession is, like, all secession is morally wrong, you're saying, like, all slaves running away is wrong?
Yes, that would be true as well.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, man. Oh, it's so funny. Oh, sorry. Wow. So what do
I know. It sounds weird in the context of the United States. And I'm not saying that people should be enslaved now. I'm not in favor of hereditary slavery. Just let me be very clear on that.
Yeah.
Because the people that have slaves are also held accountable in how they treat their slaves.
Yeah. But should they free them?
Well, that's actually a very complex question, because in an economic sense, there are situations where it would be disadvantageous. But in a different sense, in the context of Christianity, there's this idea of brotherhood that transcends social class. And in that sense, for this reason, the spread of Christianity in Europe has led to the decline of slavery in late antiquity and the Middle Ages. So in that sense, it is very awkward to own your brother.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it's something that is discouraging to it.
I see. Like, so if you do have slaves at some point and you like convert them, or you are a Christian, you know, like a lot of people.
And it's for this reason that early on, there were people that were specifically trying to stop people from evangelizing to their slaves.
No, I didn't know about that.
Because a lot of people think that slavery was always about race, but it wasn't.
Originally,
people were enslaved largely because of their religious affiliation, because it was considered illegal in most parts of Europe to have a Christian as a slave.
Wow, man, I didn't know a lot of this stuff. Let me get to some of these chats. I mean, this blows my mind, because, okay, so, you know, wow. It's kind of just like, I'm still going back to what's to be done, and you're saying you do the right thing no matter what situation you're in. But, you know, So when I say slave,
even if it kills you, yes.
So I'm, you know, I'm definitely not saying slaves necessarily from the American chattel race perspective of, you know, the Media Matters people that are listening to this conversation right now, the SPLC that's on the phone canceling my channel right now or whatever. But like, just classically slaves, like most slaves in history are conquered peoples, right?
Yes. And in some cases, slavery was probably the only way that they could avoid starving to death. So it actually was something that in ancient times was very useful, because it was a way to essentially hold your conquerors accountable to keep you alive.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that, because it's kind of like let me ask you, if you were, you know, you would be a slave over being slaughtered or what?
Well, you could be slaughtered. Or you could simply starve to death because the invading armies have destroyed your economy.
Yikes. So
for many people, even though it wasn't something that they were very happy about, it was something that greatly contributed to their survival.
Wow.
And also, people were enslaved for other reasons. Okay. A lot of slaves were criminals.
Sorry, the people in the chat are just making me laugh so hard. They're talking about my mind. They're like, "Do you remember when Steven had a channel?" I'm not surprised that YouTube shut down just to prevent this stream. Sorry. Okay, let me just read a major picture, because like it's the SPLC types and the ADL types that are the, you know. Okay, so let me, before I get to some of these chats, what do you think? do you want to, as a philosopher, you know, do you, you're a philosopher, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to convince as many people as you can of your thought, you know, of what you're thinking, your points of view?
Sure. I think it's very useful.
Okay. So what do you, what would you say to the SJWs? I mean, the people in my chat and me are, you know, you know, not the most red pilled in the world, but we're ready for this conversation. I just think it's really funny because of it's because of the implications. It's like, if people were, you know, if this was part of mainstream thought, you know, the SJWs, it would be like salt in the streets. So
it's like memory TV.
Yeah. Like, seen that? No, I don't know what that is. What is that?
Oh, it's a Middle Eastern Research Institute, and they take footage of Middle Eastern Media Research Institute. They take footage of Middle Eastern TV shows and they translate them. And there's funny compilations people make online where it's people either getting into fights on TV in the Middle East or saying really fundamentalist Islamic stuff.
And yeah, we're looking at it right now. Yeah, I'm showing the people. MEMRI TV.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, we'll check this out. But okay, so what would you say to like the people, you know, if we were allowed to, you know, just quick tangent, do you believe in free speech? Like, do you think that concept exists?
Yes, I think it's very important.
Do you think we have it in our society?
I think that in the context of the government, we do. Now, in the context of certain social media platforms, we don't.
Okay. Well, would you want to talk to some of these people, like the ADL, SPLC types, about what you're talking about? Like the secession stuff, the liberty, the authority stuff. How do you, they wouldn't be perceptive, I think, a lot of them because they're atheists. But how would you convince them, or like, what would you say to them about these, like, super base takes, you know, like, I don't know what they would say. It's just, what do you think about persuading them as, you know, it's millions of people in the population.
Well, I would suppose it would depend on what argument they would make.
Because all slave owners should be hung.
Well, I would say that they'd first have to prove A, that they were committing a crime, and B, that to merit such a punishment, that what they were doing was grossly immoral in some way.
Do you think slavery is a crime?
In general, no. In specific, there are instances where I do think it is a crime. For example, the United States bans the slavery, except in cases of people that have been convicted of crimes.
Okay.
So in the U.S., it's legal to enslave criminals. So in that case, it's not a crime.
Yeah. And you know, with the 13th Amendment, you know, it doesn't really outlaw slavery. It outlaws non-prison, like, slavery.
Yeah.
So people, you could think of work prison as slavery, right?
Yeah, and I think having people outside of prison doing work is probably better than isolating them inside.
Yeah, dang, it's so funny. I mean, okay, so here's another question. I don't know if you please interrupt me if you know who does this thought experiment that I'm talking about, but he said that, you know, if you have 0% is keeping 100% of the works of your labor and your time and stuff like that, and 100% is giving them everything, keeping nothing, like, what level on that gradient is slavery? It is, you know, is imprisonment, is slavery and stuff like that, and is it 1%? And he kept giving like 10 different examples from 0 to 100 of what the government keeps and stuff like that. Do you know what I'm talking about, this like thought experiment?
I don't know. But I would say that in slavery, the way it's usually defined, a slave is not an owner. So in that sense, a slave does not own the product of his labor.
Yeah. Yeah. At all.
at all.
But then we don't. Then no one does, right? You know, because at the end of the day, God owns everything. So, like, right now, I work, and the government takes a certain percentage, but they don't take my food.
Well, remember, it's a hierarchy, and ownership can exist in a hierarchy. For example, government agencies can own things as part of the government owning things. That's an example.
So do you think a citizen can own land in a? Yeah, do you think a person can own land in a nation?
Yes. Now that doesn't mean that they don't have responsibilities for that land.
Of course. Okay, so now I'm kind of getting back to secession, because it's like, if I, like, right now you can't really own land. I don't think you can own land. Like, you can buy it for, you can have it for everything other than the property tax, but you paying the property tax, to me, you don't fully own it. Like, I own this drumstick. You know, I can go with it. I've completely paid it off. You know, it's mine. I can do with it what I want, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else. But with land, at least in this country, you always have to pay tax, you know, county tax, you know, property tax. If that were to go away, I would call that ownership. And at that point, you have a sovereign piece of land that is inside of a nation. It might even be landlocked. I mean, you know, so let's really go to the – you're on the beach. It's coastal. And you pay no tax on it. It's all yours, but you're in a nation. Why – I still don't get – like, if I'm just like, this is my country, it's if you stop paying taxes and you subvert – I'm actually answering my own question. It's like you actively subvert the government and create your own nation. That is secession, correct?
Okay, yeah, that's one type of secession, yes.
Okay, are there other types?
Well, there's the one where you make an agreement with the government to leave.
Yeah, yeah, and that one's not immoral, according to you.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Okay. Is there a word for that? Is there a word for that isn't secession for the latter one, where it's an agreement?
I guess it would also be called secession.
Yeah, okay, it would be the same thing.
But maybe bilateral?
Bilateral secession.
As opposed to unilateral.
Do you know any examples of that in history?
The Philippines.
Like
and Cuba. They were both taken over by the U.S. and then the U.S. Let them go. Japan was occupied and then let go. Germany was occupied and then let go.
Okay, But if the government that controls it in the first place says no, it's immoral. And let's go back to the first thing we talked about with the American Revolution. I mean, I read the Declaration of Independence the other day, and they list all the different things. I mean, people say that it was just over a couple taxes or like life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But there's this big list of, you know, all kinds of stuff that, you know. And can you just repeat what you said earlier? Like, it's just... it's tough toenails. I don't know. You didn't say that, but so it's just too bad. They can't leave. No, basically no matter what happens. And are you saying that the British government would just live with God's consequences? Is that right?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. So, I mean, it's in terms of God ordaining authority, let's take this election. So whoever ends up being the president is ordained by God.
Yes.
Whoever ends up being, like, whoever gets inaugurated?
Yes.
Okay. So whatever through the official, no matter what happens before.
Yep.
Wow. And all that.
Even Hitler.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm totally down with no matter who the person is. But it just seems that. I don't know. It seems that there's like a seeming free will contradiction. It seems that free will doesn't matter.
Well, in an absolute sense, it doesn't.
Hmm.
Because it's all about God's plan.
In an absolute sense, it doesn't. Because it's all about God's plan. Okay.
So God's free will is more important than anybody else's free will.
Oh, okay. Michael Vega's in the house, says, love Anna Volta's spicy takes. I mean, I think in a weird way, this is spicy and based. It's a different outlook on, are there any other modern thinkers that you know that are close to your way of thinking to this? It's almost, it's like, forgive me, the word extreme comes to mind, but it's not, I don't know. It's just very pro-authority. I don't know. Would you call you're like an extreme ideology what you have?
I don't think it's extreme because the political ideology that I have has democracy. It has due process. It has the ability of people to have free speech, to have different ways of life, to even have different types of taxation in the government. So I don't think it's going extreme in any particular direction.
Hmm. Yeah. But it's just so anti-liberty. And that's what even the biggest LARPers are reaching for that from time. Like, that's their ideal, you know, whether it be your pro-America, your Black Lives Matter, they're all kind of talking about liberty or even if it's fake, even if it's for people they don't care about, even if it's just liberty for them to get power again. Everything is about freedom for a group, rights, and you're not talking about any of that stuff.
Well, I would say there's substantial amounts of freedom in Koinonism.
Well, of course, but I don't mean talking about any of that, but it's not the highest thing. If the higher ideals are not achieved, that stuff doesn't get a seat at the table.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I mean.
Yeah, I don't consider liberty to be a virtue in itself. I consider it to be something that's contingent upon other things.
Okay. And so, you know, we've talked about them already, but so like God's plan, would you say order? What other things?
Obedience. Hmm. I think in theory you could reduce all things to obedience. However, obedience develops into more things, such as love. There is this sense that obedience is fundamental, but it is also accompanied by a love.
Like God's love. Is there only one kind of love?
Well, you could say that there's different kinds of love, but I would say that the love that we're looking for is the kind of love that God has.
Which is what? It's so hard to explain. Like, what is that?
Well, it's exemplified in the Bible, in the love that God has to adopt us.
The love,
even though we are his enemies, he has chosen to sacrifice his own son to adopt us. Hmm.
We are God's enemies?
Naturally speaking.
So yeah. Since the fall.
Yes.
And some thick gravy, man. Some thick gravy. Let me read what this says. Can we has crusades? Because I'm ready for some crusades. What's your opinion on that? Can we has
crusades? I don't think the crusades were particularly justified in certain contexts. Now, in other contexts, I think they were justified.
Okay.
So it really depends on which crusade you're talking about and on what exactly happened.
Yeah.
So I think wars of defense are okay. I don't think that trying to conquer a certain area for particularly religious reasons is valid. Hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Like, so conquests. Do you believe that? I know I've asked you this before, but we've some new listeners. Can you argue all of Koinonism from a not from atheist, like from an atheist perspective, or like without mentioning God, like how do you make sense of this? Like,
well, I don't usually formulate it using theology, okay. Although I would say that I'm very careful to make sure it's consistent,
yeah,
with my beliefs.
So, okay. So
because what, I formulate it from a sort of structural perspective of, primarily focusing on functionality.
So, okay. So, but how about not like arguing, you know, I get it from like how I know you're a Quinianist, you invented Quinianism, but from right now, how do you explain secession being bad from a secular perspective just right now?
Okay. From a secular perspective, I would take the perspective of the power that is in power, and that perspective would be that a unilateral secession of its territory is a type of rebellion, and that it puts the state at a strategic disadvantage, and also if it is allowed to happen, it could in the future put the state at a strategic disadvantage if somebody else decides to secede at an inopportune time or a certain inopportune territory. In other words, allowing for people to secede on their own without the permission of the central government ultimately is strategically, from a perspective of international relations and grand strategy, a massive disadvantage.
Mm. And that is... What would you still implement the same penalties as you would in Quinianism? Like say, you know, the United States, do you think that it should be the death penalty for people that attempted secession, like physical secession?
Yes.
Yeah. So you,
because I view it the same as, treason and insurrection.
Yeah, so that's one of the things I wrote down that I forgot from the last couple times I had you on. So do you think that every rule in Quinianism should be implemented in current governments basically everywhere? Or is it there a context where parts of your system would not be good in current?
I've designed it to specifically be good ignoring culture and geography, and also technological development, and the size of the state. So I've designed it to be essentially effective in all environments that I could imagine a state being in.
Okay, and you know, it, so correct me if I'm wrong. I'm gonna, you know, for people in the chat that are wondering. So it's basically anything that threatens the, you know, the fundamental nature of the structure of government is the most serious offenses.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And that's the, but then the magisteriums or, I'm going to pull up the chart of what you sent me before in a second, but things under that, they would kind of delegate or they would solve their own, they would be like state level crimes, you know, murder, things like that would be handled in the communities or in the lower magisteriums.
I just don't the lower crimes would be regulated in the communities, but the trials and the courts would happen in the magisteria.
Okay. Okay. And, but things like the one that blew my mind when you were on before was when counterfeiting money. That would be not good, right?
Yeah, because the government uses money for its military purchases.
Okay, dang. I think, like, you know, a couple people have said that this is not based. I think this is based because based doesn't mean good in all, seemingly good in all circumstances. It's just based in that it's if you threaten the... like my fundamental thing, I will remove you from my fundamental thing, like this fundamental thing called life. And that is kind of based. I mean, you, But you don't find it to be like barbaric, or I mean, the lefties would say that you have a total discount for human life, dude.
Well, I think that the primary, from a perspective of realist international relations theory, the primary goal of a government is to continue its own existence.
Mm.
And in the context of the people, the government is the system of courts, and the government is its protection from foreign powers. And therefore, the importance that the government has to the people is existential. And whereas the people as a whole have an existential importance to the government, it is sometimes necessary to sacrifice some people in order to ensure that justice can be maintained.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's why people go to war. That's why people do punish crimes. That's why in many countries, police are armed with lethal weaponry.
Yeah. And so it's kind of, that's been happening the whole time. You know, it's, you know, the government is the monopoly on force, or, you know, is that what you, would you say that's what it's like, the legal monopoly on force?
Yes, it's what it should be. If it doesn't do that, then it's in big trouble.
Yeah. Okay. And it seems like this is like it. It's almost given, when you're given this truth, you have not that many choices. It's like you could go full anarchist and anarcho-capitalist, or at least you can try. You could go full authority. You could try to compromise somewhere in the middle. You know. So why have you? Did you ever explore? Well, first of all, have you ever been into communism or socialism?
No.
Okay. Have you ever explored anarcho-capitalism as an ideology, like full free market but no government?
I've never been anarchist. I've been, you could say, minarchist in the past.
Okay. And so why do you think that ideology does not hold up?
The reason why I don't think it is as useful is because it is not able to organize power in the same way that a proper state can.
Yeah. Okay. So a proper state being, you know, can you just, what is a proper state? And what is
it? Let's say a professional military would be an example of something that a proper state has.
Minarchism doesn't have a professional military?
Well, it depends. Okay. But I would say that the difference between Koinonism and minarchism, because let me be very clear, I'm not actually strongly against minarchism.
Okay.
The difference here is that in Koinonism, the communities can choose to be minarchist.
Yes.
And they can also choose to be totalitarian.
Okay, I see.
So yeah. People that want socialism can have socialism. People that want very small government involvement can have that.
Mm.
Okay. And what the central government controls is primarily the international elements, which are the central military, as well as the currency that the government uses to provide military supplies, and the court systems, and the diplomats.
Okay. So what I was, you know, one of the questions I was going to ask about is what, you know, what about, you know, if you're pro free speech, what about if I just, you know, promote the idea of secessionism, but never go through with it? Where does that line fall?
Well, it depends on how far you go to promote it. If you're just simply telling people that it's an idea that you like, an idea that you encourage, then that's probably fine. But if you incite people or conspire with people in order to criminally secede, then that becomes a crime.
And is that, would that be death penalty?
Yes.
Okay. And so as soon as you cross into the conspiracy realm, yeah, in a weird way, I am just wondering what to do with my live stream. If Koinonism is like, if Koinonism gets implemented, do I have to go like pirate radio? And like, because I'm not like, it, or do I just have to change my mind to become anti-secession? Like, what do you do with the people? What do you do with people that honestly think things that, and you just tell them that you don't cross this line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I say is, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't make an effort to accomplish something that is criminal.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the same standard the U.S. has. It's just a different punishment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course, of course. And so you just lay it out very explicitly. If you cross this line, it's a very harsh punishment. Anything else than this is speech.
Yeah.
Mm. I actually could kind of live with that, to be honest. Yeah, like, because, right, I'm not really an inciter, but I am a shit talker, and I really like open dialogue and free speech. I don't really think that free speech really exists. I mean, the term exists, but as far as having no laws governing speech, that doesn't really exist. It's never really been a thing. I can't think of a time when it was true free speech, and I don't know if I would want true free speech. Now, if you stretch it to the limits of advocating for things, saying certain things are allowable, like I personally, I mean, I don't think about government as much as you. You know, I actually don't think about it much at all. What I think about is culture, you know, and so I spend my days basically teaching kids one-on-one, you know, on Zoom music and, and running my live stream. And so I think about is culture. And so what, maybe it's an emotional argument, but the things that are the most... When someone like, are you pro death? Someone asked me if I'm pro death penalty. I say, yeah, for like sickos. And we've talked about this before. Like really, really, and that would be the lower magisteriums, or the colonial magisteriums. I'm looking at it right now. But my point is that it just seems like, I don't know, if I can speak, great. But you would have no, I'm like, do you believe in hate speech? Do you think that should be hate speech laws should be a thing at all?
No.
No. Okay.
So I would say that if a community wants to establish some standards,
yeah,
then that's fine. But in general, no.
Mm. What about in America though? Like, I mean, so like in general though, the rules of Koinonism you would want to see implemented in, you know, in governments, wherever you wherever they are, like states, as in nation states.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think it's more effective than anybody has currently.
All right. So at this, the top level, there's the Supreme Magisterium. And what do you call is it the commission above that? Is that what that's called?
Yeah, there's a number of different commissions that deal with specific issues.
But that's still all the Supreme Magisterium up there.
Well, they're not members of the Supreme Magisterium.
Okay.
They're appointed by the Supreme Magisterium and the immediate magisteria below that.
Okay. But so above the commissions is God. Like,
what's above everyone is God, yes.
Yeah, okay. So, but there's no thing between those commissions and God.
No, there's nothing in between.
Okay, all right, gotcha. All right, so as far, what about, you know, at what point does speech, but do you, what about fighting words or, you know, bomb, you know, these classic tropes that people say, like yelling bomb in a plane and fire in a theater, you know, like, you know, doing same messed up stuff to kids. Do you believe that these laws should exist?
I think the place for these laws should not be central. It should be on the local community.
Yeah, this is the hardest. I mean, I don't know. It's the hardest part to grasp, but it's not complicated. It's just decentralized. And we are like in a centralized time where it's like, who's going to win president? And you just, oh, what's the federal government going to do about it? And even the people that want to end the federal government, a lot of them want to do it on a federal level. They're like, end the Fed, disband the IRS. So it's just hard to stick up there where you're like, no, it should be decentralized. It should be at the lower level in the hierarchy. These not smaller things, but things that don't threaten the nature of the state or the government.
Yeah, because on the lower levels, you're very much close to what is happening, because in some places it might not be an issue. And why would you need to have your law be 100 times longer to deal with every possible issue when you don't have to, because it's not an issue where you live?
Okay. So I just want to do a quick, I want to play out a scenario, because I'm very fascinated in this, because I get to have this conversation with someone before it goes down from a hypothetical point of view. Okay. So I'm doing my live stream and Coinism is implemented. You are the leader. Do you want to be the leader? One of the leaders of, like, you know, what commission is in charge of giving me the axe if I am a secessionist?
You'd have to be prosecuted by either a magisterium or a community leader.
Oh, okay. Interesting. For secession, though. But I thought secession was from the main, so those are adjudicated by the magisterium, not the supreme magisterium.
They
so
don't have to be, no.
I'm misunderstanding
because
something.
It follows the same law, so okay, it doesn't have to be.
So so I'm so small potatoes that I can't even secede from Coinism. I have to secede from my smaller jurisdiction, and they will still put me to death.
Yeah.
Shit. Okay. Okay. So would you be the leader of one of these little small ones, one of these intermediate magisteriums, or what's the small commune? So the commune would kill me too.
They don't have the authority to carry out the death penalty. It has to be in the magisterium.
Okay, great. Okay,
but they can prosecute someone for committing a crime.
Okay, gotcha. Now this is interesting, live chat. Now we're talking about me and my actual life. Okay, so I'm up in the intermediate magisterium, and then I'm doing a live stream, and if I say, "Hey guys, I think secession might be a good idea now." Is that good? Is that enough?
I don't think it would be. No,
you don't think that's enough. Okay, good, man. All right, that's good. But
because
if I say
I think it might be a good idea, that doesn't mean that you're actually going to do anything.
Okay, but if I'm like, "Hey guys, I'm meeting up at this tavern at this time to have a secession meeting," that's not good.
Well, at that point, there might be an investigation.
Okay.
But there's no evidence from that you're actually planning to secede. You're just talking about secession.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting. So I think my Twitch channel just got deleted or something. Oh my gosh. Anyway, I hate when this happens live on air, but
looks like Twitch seceded from you.
Yeah, dude. If this really just happened, wow. Okay. So. Dang, dude. Give me just one second, man. I'm sorry. I'm just I don't know. I'll figure it out later. Anyway, so there would be an investigation, and then, but if it was it got down to training and laying out plans for if you found documents.
That's definitely.
Yeah, if you found documents, a declaration of a new nation, point by point thing. That's not good at all.
At that point, that's significant evidence. Yes.
Okay. Interesting. dang. Okay. And that's good, because I'm not really like that. That's
now,
good.
In court, they'd still have to prove that, you intentionally were doing that.
Yeah. Okay. So it's still all handled through. So the law is just. Law is just, and if it's not, it's not on you to be God in the long run.
Yeah.
Okay.
And because in the context of Romans, he's telling people to be obedient to the Roman emperor, who's pagan, and he's calling this pagan religious figure a minister of God.
Hmm. Wow. Oh, jeez. It's so un-American. You know, and I say that in all jest. You know, it doesn't make it like right or wrong, but it's so un-American.
But speaking about secession, I would say that in the context of the Constitution, I don't think that unilateral secession is allowed.
Hmm. In the context of the Constitution?
Yes.
Okay. And so that's...
Going from Articles 1 and 4.
Okay. And so the Civil War is out. You're a Yankee. You're pro.
Now, if they had contacted the federal government and had made a treaty, it wouldn't be a treaty because states aren't allowed to make treaties. It would be an agreement that then becomes a treaty once they secede. Then it would have been fine, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
But because they simply left without having an agreement, and then they began attacking federal military bases, that's definitely a problem.
Yeah. Just to update you guys, yes, I've been booted from Twitch for a week. I just got an email, live chat, suspension length is 7 days. Based on a review of your activity or content, we've issued a community guideline strike on your account. Using hateful slurs or symbols. Violation occurred on stream or VOD. I don't know. that's what's going on Twitch, guys. But anyway,
I don't think either of us has used a slur. Or
no, it's definitely from a solo stream of mine. It's my morning shows. I'll say whatever. It's not one of us. But some I've been flagged for cyberbullying before for just talking about ideas. So I just don't know. I'll probably appeal it. But that's up to me. I don't know. I like it because it's flack over a target. If it's – they never really ever tell you what you said when you appeal. So you don't know. So I just say whatever. Is vulgarity a sin or, you know, swearing?
If it's an unclean communication, yes.
Unclean communication. Wow. Yeah. I've never heard that before.
Because we are to be holy, and if we do things in a manner that is disgraceful, that's a stain on us, in essence.
Crap. So where's the line, though? It's just if you and society view it as profane.
Yes, I would say it probably has a lot to do with cultural context and the intention of the person saying it.
Mm. Okay. I see. And so...
Because if you intentionally do something that might seem innocuous in other circumstances, but you're doing it in a specific circumstance to insult someone, I don't think that's the right thing to do.
Mm, yes. Okay. I see. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. With like being unkind and being, you know, harmful, intentionally harmful. What about like emphasis swearing? Do you think that's the same kind of thing?
I think that's somewhat more that's more complex. I would have to say it depends on the context.
Yeah. Okay. Man. You always give me a lot to think about, man. I mean, I guess what I was thinking about when I, you know, am I pro secession? I mean, if it was like, if I was like on a test, and I was just taking the test, I would say, yes, I am. But really what it is, it's kind of like, it's the recourse thing. And it's just seems so, it just doesn't seem just that people don't get a recourse that is their own freedom to like starve on their own and fail. Something just doesn't still sit right of like that being on the table. Now I know obviously something not sitting right is not an argument. It's not a philosophical argument at all. It's just, maybe we have to untrain ourselves, or I need to, you know.
Well, your recourse is God. Yeah. God is your avenger.
Hmm. See, that's
if someone does something unjust to you, yeah. God will punish them.
Yeah, that's see, that is the based part. That's the most persuasive part to me, because I have a lot. I think that clearly God is the grand like arbiter of history. Clearly, the hand of God is all over history. I mean, like, it almost is God. Not is. I mean, that is not right to say, but it's like God is interwoven in history. I think that it clearly shows that. And do you believe, like, so it's like every single, do you think authority, this goes down to even being parent,
yes.
God. Yeah. So all kids. So it's almost like the parents and the nation are in effect the same thing, that every parent, if God breathes life into all kids and into all, and he ordains all authority, it's like God truly ordains all authority in fact, you know, yes. Like if it ends up being that, if the child is a child and the nation is a nation and the town is a town, it was God that had the ultimate hand in ordaining.
Yeah. And in the context of parenthood, this is evidenced by the fact that strongly disrespecting your parents under the law of Moses could get you a death penalty.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what do you to honor biblically? What does that mean?
Honor.
To honor your mother and father. I think that in 1 Peter 2, it says honor the king, honor the governor. Let me look it up. But yeah, I don't know if they use the same word in the Ten Commandments as they do in 1 Peter.
Well, I'd have to look at the Hebrew and the Greek.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But either way, like, so biblical honor, to honor something, what does that mean?
Well, I would say a certain component of it is respect. So as a child, that would mean you respect your parents by obeying them. It also means that you don't disgrace your parents, that you don't take what your parents have given you for granted, and you don't squander the gifts that your parents have given you.
Mm.
So it means that your parents have done a lot for you, raising you, and historically speaking, the end part of your life is your children taking care of you. Mm. That's true for most periods in history, that when you get too old to work, your children in the end take care of you. So it means that because your parents helped you when you needed it, then when they need it at the end of their lives, you help them.
Mm. And so that's now, why
obviously that's an idealized situation. There are context situations. For example, if your parents are trying to kill you, that's obviously a situation that would change the relationship, because then they're not behaving as parents to you.
Hmm. Yeah, and that's why it's in that verse. It's like, so you may grow long, you may live long in the land. I'm paraphrasing it, but it doesn't just say honor your mother and father. It says, like, so you may live long and wow. And so honoring the government is part of that. And, you know, so yeah, so that's what, so if there's a situation where your parents are trying to kill you, what if the government's trying to kill you and you're innocent? Do you let them kill you?
Well, what you do is you tell the truth.
Hmm.
And then once the truth has been told, and once you've followed the legal recourses that you have available to you, then it is your responsibility to submit.
Wow. Wow. So die.
Yes.
Wow. And you would do this?
Yes.
Wow. Amazing.
And that's what Jesus did too.
Yeah. Wow. See, that is based. I don't know if Aircraft Sparky is still in the chat, but he was saying that you're, I don't think he meant biblically, but he was saying it's damn near blasphemy what you're saying. He's like, this is not based. I don't think he's here anymore, but I think that is based, man. If it's something Christ did, so like you can't run. You can't run at that point. Like, you can't even do that. You can't run.
Well, it is the government's responsibility to deliver justice to its subjects, and you are one of its subjects, and therefore it is your responsibility as a subject of a government to submit to the judgment of a government.
Wow, man.
And if the judgment is unjust, then it will be on them that it is unjust.
Yeah, though it'll be on them in the long run, but on the short term, it's on you. And in the short term, you're being put to death.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a tough. The early, early martyrs did. Would you say that? Yeah, the early martyrs did this, right? Like Saint Stephen.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah. This is crazy, man. This is there's a lot of people that I think there's a lot of people that would want you put to death for this. Not me. I'm not one of them. I think it's a fascinating take. I don't know if I fully agree, but honestly, I don't know if I can justify it from a philosophical or logical without writing something down. I don't know if I could even then. It's just it feels emotional. It seems like things shouldn't be that way, the way you're saying. And I know, I'm dumb, and I'm not so dumb that I know that's not an argument. You know, that's definitely not an argument. That I'm like, oh, my liberty, man, is not an argument. Like, I know for sure that liberty is not inherently good. That is 100% true.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's, and I know for sure that God is 100% good. You know?
Necessarily, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%
has to be. He defines what is good.
Yes, exactly.
He necessarily is good.
Yeah. So it's just, it is somewhere in the middle. Not somewhere in the middle. It's just like those are true. Like, I know that freedom is not inherently good. And I know that God is definitely all good. But there's also just the precedent of history, like the implications of saying that America is bad, basically. Do you think that there is a nation independent of the state?
Functionally speaking, no. Mm. Now, it depends on how you define a nation. So people like to make a bunch of different definitions for what a nation is. So in theory, you could say yes under a certain context, but as a structure of power, unless it has power, I don't think it's fair to say from a realist perspective that there is such a thing.
Mm. Okay, so, so like a tribe, let me actually address some of the chats real fast, then I'll ask that question about nations. So it says, might be wrong, says there are examples of good men fleeing from violent authority. David ran from King Saul on many occasions. What do you say to that? Is that right?
Yes.
For him to flee?
Yes, because God told him to.
Because God told him to. Oh, okay. And Jesus was God, though.
Because David was anointed to be king, and because of that, he had a responsibility to God to fulfill to become king.
Mm. Oh, it's almost like Jesus getting crucified before his time wouldn't have been part of God's plan, so he was fleeing. He fleed before that. He fleed a few times, Jesus did.
Well, the places where he fled weren't places where there was a legitimate authority seeking to kill him. It was places where mobs wanted to attack him.
That being the Romans, not the Jews.
Well, the Jews had their own authorities, but I'm saying that actual mobs had tried to attack him.
Oh, like and, mobs of people, not necessarily.
Yeah, not not people that had the legal right to attack him.
Mm. David had to run to keep the bloodline to Christ alive. Wow, that's interesting. That's true from Oki Dean. Yeah, God brings about his will. He wouldn't have needed David to help him. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, even if David had surrendered to Saul, Saul would not have been able to kill him.
Mm. He wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah.
According to what God said, what God's plan for the future.
Yes.
Jesus. Yeah.
Well, not just Jesus, but David's kingship.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. So he was anointed. Yeah, he was anointed before that. He was anointed before he kind of became a Saul's, like, you know.
Yeah, he was anointed before he had a military career.
Oh, I see. I see. Wow. Fascinating. So, I forgot what I was asking. Before that. Oh, yeah. So, it's just, I don't know what to say about, like, the Ma Liberty people. Like, it's kind of, you can think of, you know, it's just crazy. It's crazy where we were talking about earlier about slaves. And, so like a slave is the same as a child, is the same as a citizen in terms of the hierarchy. You know, there's something above you and you think it's immoral to, you know, usurp that authority in those cases, or all cases where there's a hierarchy.
Yeah, if there is actually a hierarchy, yes.
If there's actually a hierarchy.
Now, there are cases where there isn't a hierarchy. For example, if you're on the battlefield and the enemy general asks you to surrender, you don't have to surrender.
Mm, if it's a
battle. Because he's the enemy general.
Yeah, okay, I see. So you believe in conquest? Do you believe that conquest is just, you know, like, in terms of...
If the war is just, the conquest is just.
If the war is just, the conquest is just.
Yeah.
Okay. And that can be complicated.
If you have a legitimate reason to go to war, then I think that conquest can be a legitimate outcome.
Okay. But if you are the one who attacks unjustly, and then you get on the battlefield, do you have an obligation to stop attacking? Like,
The one that attacks unjustly in that case would be the government and not the soldier, because the soldier is following orders.
Okay, but at any point during that, would the morally correct thing to do for the on the government's part to stop? But would be to stop attacking.
Yes.
At any point, even if it's at any point at all. Like, even if it's down to the last, you know, person.
Well, the problem is that the situation does change as it goes on.
Mm.
The situation is not a permanent situation, as in the place where the war starts isn't the place where the war stays.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at.
So at a certain point, although the government was unjust in attacking, it is not unjust in defending.
Yeah. Man, remain any, like, you can't even get to the truth of a war then, because you're talking about thousands of different, you know, there's the initial attack. Let's say that wars come down to one shot. You know, they come down to, there is a moment where no shots have been fired and then one shot has been fired. That's the initial aggressor. And then the person defends themselves at that, but they defend themselves by attacking the other side. Is then the defense of that defense morally justified?
I think it is justified to counterattack.
Yeah. So at a certain point, it's just... Do you have to trace your way back to the initial shot, or like?
Well, sometimes the initial shot is lost. For example, there's many wars where the initial leaders died, and then the war goes on for several years.
What a mess! Yeah, man, that's crazy. But
so it's not always an easy answer.
No, it's not easy at all. But in the end, these big we're talking about it in the Bible study tonight, where, you know. You know, God defines the board, the times and the borders of the nations. So, you know, in these wars, the you know, if it's the borders of a nation, God does have a hand in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes he gives countries the power and the impetus to conquer other countries.
Hmm. Yeah. I know we have Ron Helton is a big secessionist over here. If Oklahoma and Texas left peacefully, the U.S. would immediately invade for the oil, zero sum gain. Do you think? Yeah. I mean, so if they left, you would invade.
If they left, okay, let's say hypothetically, I'm the president, and the president has a number of different powers. If they left with a treaty or an agreement that becomes a treaty upon them leaving, because states aren't allowed to make treaties like that, but if an agreement is made that then defines the borders of the United States in contrast with those of Oklahoma and Texas, then I don't think it would be legitimate to attack. Hmm. Now, yeah, if they left on their own without making an agreement, then we have a situation where, since they're no longer states in the U.S., they're not represented in our Congress, which means that they don't have states' rights of the U.S. And also, because we don't have a formal agreement, we don't really have a reason to distinguish between formal secession and insurrection.
Hmm.
And the U.S. has the power and the authority to crush insurrection. Yeah. I'm using constitutional terms here, but
right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's almost, you don't have a, it's interesting. That is one of the things I talk about on my show a lot, is just the definitions and the language. You don't almost don't have a linguistic out. Like, you know, because if you let them, you talked about this earlier, if you let them leave, if you let them leave, you invite other people to leave, which can undermine the entire health of your whole nation.
Yeah.
So basically you cannot let them leave if you care about the safety of your, see, this is the part where I understand this. And this is why I think this is based, because a smart person can at least talk about what the word existence means. And I get it. It is like it's like more people are well-versed in terms of learning about criminal organizations in this way than government organizations. But everyone knows that scene, like The Sopranos or The Wire or Breaking Bad, that if the drug kingpin doesn't kill the first person because he's the problem, it's because they're going to create more problems. It's a precedent and everyone else will see it. It's like an optics thing too, where, you know, people start to get ideas that undermines your entire thing. The first one is the one that undermines your entire thing.
Yeah.
So going back to
the example.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's say hypothetically, the previous president made an agreement and then they seceded and now I'm the president. Now the strategic thing, the most strategic and pragmatic thing would be to reverse the secession and take over.
Yeah.
However, I have honor, and because we have an agreement with Oklahoma and Texas, it would be dishonorable to take them over.
Okay. Because there's the agreement. But if there's not, you know, and I do want to just hammer that point home about like the linguistic part of it. It's out. They can't leave because that would set a precedent and all this stuff, all those reasons I was saying. So saying that you can't let them leave, you have to call them something. You have to know what to call them. And you've said they've kind of given up their states' rights at that point. And you have to,
if they leave, they don't have states' rights.
Exactly.
They necessarily don't, because they're not in the U.S.
Yeah, they're not in the – yeah. And so it's like, what can you treat that as other than insurrection and rebellion? Like, you know, you could say, we'll let you go, but that's kind of an agreement. You know?
Yeah, that would be a sort of an agreement. Now, we could have a situation where the government doesn't know what to do and they don't do anything for some time, and then the new administration comes in and then they do something about it.
Hmm. Wow. So it's there's always recourse in your way of thinking. It's honestly, yeah, there's always a little bit of a legal recourse. And then at the end of the day, it's not up to you as a person. It's up to God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fascinating, man. Wow. I mean, okay, so we just did about an hour and a half. Anyone in the chat have any questions for Anna Voltis? Let me just read some of these while we wait for these chats. Politicians have no honor. Do you agree with that, or is that necessarily true, or what?
They can. I think they can have honor just like anybody else can.
Yeah, they can or cannot have honor just like anyone. Do you think modern politicians, for lack of a better word, have honor? Do you
know? I think there's some politicians that have honor.
Okay. But I have a question. What do you think? Have you looked into the voter fraud election thing a lot?
Yeah, I did a stream on it a couple days ago.
Oh, I gotta check that out. What is your take on that? What do you think's happening?
Well, my take on that is that there are some very serious allegations, and for the sake of the integrity of our system, we need to investigate those allegations.
Hmm. That's it. Okay. So is it the election aftermath with Wyatt?
Yeah.
Let me check this out. I'll watch this one later. So guys, make sure you sub to Anna Voltis. I'll link it in this is the one with Wyatt. And so you just think that, what do you think that, do you think just the battleground states need to be investigated, or the whole kit and caboodle, or what do you think?
I think the places where there are witnesses coming out saying that they've seen something. I think I heard a number somewhere. Don't take this as objective because I just heard it somewhere. That there's about 11,000 people claiming to have witnessed some sort of election fraud.
Wow. And it's just by such a small margin too, you know, it's just a couple states, and it's just by, you know, under, you know, a certain, you know, 50,000 per state or something like that. And
Obviously it would be a waste of resources to invest in non-battleground states.
Yeah.
So yeah. If somebody is going to commit fraud, it's not going to be in places where there would be no advantage in doing so.
Hmm. What do you think should be the penalty for your casual poll worker that just commits fraud?
Death.
Really? Yeah, because it makes sense under your system, you know, because you're undermining the very structure of your system, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I see it as similar to treason and insurrection.
Holy shit. Wow, man. I mean, that's you know, it's very consistent. It just seems brutal, but it's not that I disagree with it. It's just that, you know, we've come back to this point when you've been on before, that government is always, I don't know if brutal is the right word, but it's always been kind of this, where it's always been in charge of the violence, in charge of the resources, in charge of the land, and it's serious business, right?
Yeah. Well, what I can say is that if you're not willing to hypothetically go all the way, that is to kill, then people have a weakness in your government that they can exploit.
Yeah.
And that's where you get people like Gandhi.
Hmm. Well, next time I have you on, we'll definitely talk about Gandhi, because I don't really even know what that really means. Are you saying just he did a nonviolent rebellion, right? Like insurrection? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And because it was bad optics, the government decided to back off at several points.
Wow. Yeah. So what if no one volunteered? Like, I don't know what the deal is with election poll workers and things like that, but what if everyone's so scared that no one ever volunteers for government positions because it's just death penalty?
I don't think that's likely to happen.
I don't think it is either. I think that there's always going to be someone. There's always, if that vacancy's there, there's going to be leadership, and you might have to go through a couple generations of a lot of people being put to death that are government workers. But in the end,
Well, I think if people are aware that they could die for changing a single vote illegally, then I don't think that they'd be very likely to do it.
But yeah, they wouldn't be likely to change the vote. But I'm saying that they also, I don't know how likely they'd be to even sign up for it because people are afraid. You know, maybe
well,
that's, you know.
We have to be very clear that in a court of law, there needs to be evidence that the person knowingly and willfully committed the crime.
Yeah. And that's the, that's what I was saying about the recourse part. It actually seems very fair from both sides. There's recourse for the government and there's recourse for the offender or the innocent person or the civilian or whatever, because,
yeah. And you need to have two or more witnesses.
Yeah.
And those witnesses could be material witnesses.
What does that mean?
A material witness is such as criminal forensics where, have fingerprints,
a non-person.
DNA, things like that.
I see. Okay. I never knew what that meant. So two witnesses, that's a biblical principle as well, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing.
And I think if it's good enough for God to tell Israel to put people to death on the testimony of two or more witnesses, I think it's good enough for anyone.
Wow. Final question before I let you go, because I definitely want to get you on soon. And I just wanted to say, I said it before you got on, but you're one of my favorite thinkers online, man. So I really like picking your brain about it. It's so foreign, you know? So I hope you don't mind that I just laugh at it, because I don't know what to do. It's so funny. Like, I'm just like, oh, liberty. And you're like, nah, kill all tamperers. And you're not an unkind guy at all. That's why I think it is based. And it makes me laugh that, you know, I come from an anarch ANCAP background where like libertarian and I'm like, oh dude, the state is bad and Ron Paul or whatever, but it is kind of based because it's based in God's law. And I've read the first four books of the Bible more than any books of the Bible. So I've read Leviticus and Exodus, the end of Exodus a lot. And this is what it kind of is. It's very biblical, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's theonomy, but
what does that mean?
Theonomy is it means the law of God. It's an idea that some people have that the Torah is meant to be a guideline for governments in general, and I don't hold to that.
You don't believe that? Okay.
No, I think it's for a specific purpose.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, last question, and then I'm going to keep streaming for a couple minutes, so I'm just going to let you go. Okay, so have you heard of the private law versus public law, like admiralty law? It's the living man principle, a sovereign citizen. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I've heard some of these, yes.
Yeah, do you have any? I mean, it's supposedly a biblical, I mean, the people that talk about this method of circumventing jurisdiction, basically, is also based on biblical principles of, you know, like they say the United States is a corporation, not a country, you know, is incorporated in 1870 or something like that. There's this whole historical thing behind it, but it's basically a way of getting yourself out of almost any what you would call jurisdiction because you claim a higher jurisdiction. And they also say that the highest jurisdiction is God. But have you ever brushed up on this or like, you know,
well,
do you have any,
I would say that it doesn't really matter whether or not a government is a corporation, because historically speaking, you could say that formal states, that is corporations as governments, arose gradually and sort of developed from governments that were more individually led. So in that sense, I don't think it matters.
Okay.
Now, in the context of a Roman Empire, we have a government that is a corporation, the SPQR, and also the emperor as an individual autocrat. So in that sense, we have both situations, and Romans 13, in theory, then covers both of these situations. Now, I would say that being sovereign is, in an absolute sense, is something that only God has. Now, in a lesser sense, being sovereign in the context of international relations exists among states. And I will say that just like it is wrong to declare your sovereignty away from God, it is also wrong, on a similar note, to declare your sovereignty away from someone that God has placed above you.
Yeah. And that's back to secession. But so next time I have you on, I definitely want to talk about Gandhi, and I want to talk about the sovereign citizen thing, because I've done like 3-hour streams on this, and I have like I bought the yearly subscription to one of these companies that teaches you how to do it. It's $60. I didn't pay an arm and a leg for it, but I want to talk to you about like what you think, how this, because if you can legally get around it, is it subverting? That's the question. That's the whole line of questioning I'm going to have next time. Like, which is like, if I can get it so they will let me off, is that subverting their authority?
It depends on two things. One, whether it's actually following the law as it's supposed to be. And two, whether you're doing it specifically to get away with things.
I
think one would be the very formal illegal problem. The other one is a problem of character.
Interesting. Whew. All right. Well, Anavolt, is always good talking to you, man. Always giving me a lot to think about. We're going to link I'm going to keep streaming here, and we're going to link your stuff in the show description. But just tell us where to find you, and you can plug your work, and hope you have a great night, man.
Yeah. So as I said earlier, I'm on YouTube as Anavoltus, and also on BitChute. So most of my stuff can be found there. I've published some stuff about Koinonism on koinonism.com. Although I will say that most of the stuff I talk about Koinonism is on my channel. So YouTube or BitChute, you can reach that. I've also published a book. It's called Actionable Justice, available for Amazon Kindle.
Cool. Now I have a link to that over here, so we'll link it over there. And so please check it out. Check out Anavoltus' channel and give him a subscription and things like that. Because this guy, he has some base takes, and it's always it's fresh. Again, coming from the liberty background, I do, if you can even call it that, so-called liberty background. It's just nice hearing these takes, man. So best of luck out there, and have a nice night. All right.
Yeah. Thank you. Very nice having me on your show. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely, man. Hit me up anytime you want to talk. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Peace out, man. See ya. Yeah. All right, y'all. What up? What up? What up? Whatever you might mean, might be wrong. Why are you doing this? Might be wrong. What are you doing? Give Caesar what is Caesar's and God what is command. Same principle in a sense. Yeah, we going for a little bit longer. You guys want to watch anything funny? You guys want to watch anything funny? Let me get rid of this. Yeah. Oh. Here's me. Where's my camera? My cam? These chicks don't even know the name of my cam. 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 What's up with that? Oh, did I kick it? What do I do? Yeah, I got banned on Twitch. Can you blame me? What's up with this? Oh, I see. Anavoltus is based, yo. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry to all my American friends out there. About to get a hurricane. Mike Ham. Oh, I didn't even know what I was saying. Mike Ham. Mike Ham. Mike Ham. Yeah, Anavoltus is kind of based, man. I don't know what to say. I'm not that good at arguing. So I'm like, I don't know why I don't agree with him on stuff. I don't know if I don't agree with him. I don't know if I don't. I'm just like, man, my liberty, man. My liberty, ma'am. My ma'am. My ma'am. My ma'am. Let's watch some funny stuff. I'm like, why are you so based, Anavoltis? Why can I not argue with your pro-status takes, dude? And he's so kind about it, man. I don't know what to say. You got? Do you guys back death penalty for federal for fraud, election fraud? Face Palmer, what's up? Set of Acantis, major victory. Might be wrong. Okie Dean. Marie, hello, y'all. Hope everyone's having a good one. I want to put some funny stuff on. Let me get rid of this here. Let me get this here. My cam. 100% has said he backs it, dude. He said backs it. Browser. Let's see what's going on in the news. I saw something happened. Some people did something. Ronald Kane as his White House chief of staff. Dang, dude. I got banned on Twitch. That's lame. One week, no Twitch. See what we can come up with. I'm definitely not sweating. It should be a category. Oh, I thought you were talking about the death penalty. Stocks for election fruiters. I'm anti-death penalty unless you have three witnesses. I'm with that. Keep it biblical. How does anyone get banned from Twitch? Dude, you get flack over the target sign. Seceding in ignoramus. Let's see what's going on. Jess Green will not comply. Liberty Thought Pod says, the politicians thanking the troops with platitudes today will leave them all in the path of destruction tomorrow. And they won't lose an ounce of sleep, says my band.
It's progress.
No. Dude, this is not Hillary, bro. No way we're watching this live. Dude, guys, man, this is not Hillary Clinton. Yo, this is serious, guys. Yo. They switch bodies out.
A critically important.
No.
I dare to say.
That's not her.
Under-recognized topic. Women's participation in post-conflict reconstruction.
Dude, that's not her, man. No, I'm serious this time.
It's progress on a critically important, but I dare to say, an often under-recognized topic. Women's participation in post-conflict reconstruction.
Is that supposed to be her speaking, or is that a person introducing them? Oh, it's a typo. Okay, it's a typo. Okay. They said Georgetown University messed up. We're definitely, that's for the show tomorrow. Yo, don't tell anyone. We got some regulars here. Yo, I wanna get them. That was just, they had a typo. Man. Bruh. Let me get this other one. Dude. They do switch bodies out, though. Steroid meth cocktail. Wrong voice, too. Yeah. Hillary Clinton is so fake and gay. Dude, banned me twice on Twitch. I didn't do nothing, dude. I didn't do nothing, man. You want some DMT, man? I kind of do. You want some DMT, man? Open your third eye. Open your brown eye, man. She has like, her like face was folded over on herself. Whoa, just so loud. Oh my gosh. Faces of Death, round three. Dang, dude. Wow. Oh, meth. Oh my meth. Wow. That's a good one. I approve of this message. undo nothing. How old is she? 37? Damn, look at that. Wow. Hold on. Look at that one. Fellas, who's in? Who's in? What? Oh yeah, we're talking about that one tomorrow. That one with the rock today was very cringe. Mom, is that you? Oh. What else? Defund my butt, please. Defund my butt. Defund the police. Defund my butt. I'm a proud West Virginia Democrat. We are the party of working men and women. We want to protect American jobs and healthcare. We do not have some crazy socialist agenda. We do not believe in defunding the police. Defund my butt. The butt.
God's going to put a cancer in the butthole. God's going to put a cancer in the butthole of every sodomite. Every sodomite butthole will get cancer in the butthole. It'll burn and burn and burn. They won't be able to sit down because of the burning in their butthole. He can't sit down. He's got a burning in his butthole. He's got a fire. He's got a flame coming out of his butthole. God's going to have a flame coming out of your butthole. You're going to have a flame coming out of your butthole. If you thought that AIDS was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet until you see the flaming butthole. Your butthole will be flaming, and you will not be able to sit down until you have a flame coming out of your butthole. And there'll be people walking around all over America with flames coming out of their butthole. Everyone who takes it up the rear, everyone who has a penis injected in his butthole, when that penis comes out, the flame will start burning. Because ain't nobody gonna stick no penis in that flame. That flame
number five on D-Live, huh?
Flame coming out of the butthole of every Saturday. Flame coming out of the butthole. Flame coming out of your...
Just some, like, delusional lefties. I don't know who exactly...
Okay,
like,
so...
Libertarian philosophies.
What do you think?
And self-sufficiency. Oh, yeah, Stephen's definitely potentially a domestic terrorist as well.
Oh, yeah, Stephen Ignoramus.
It's all about self-sufficiency and survivalism and all that kind of stuff.
Get in here, guys.
Does he have any fears of big government?
See, Stephen, imagine being pro-liberty. Yeah, exactly. That's why, as soon as you read that list, I actually came out as a socialist and part of Antifa. And, yeah, we want more, lots of government now. So make sure you continue with that narrative. Lots of government.
Now, what's
the most government? It'll be fantastic.
Now, what's funny is, you know, I just got through reading about a guy. Oh, God, what is that? What? 14 Woodsmen? Is that what he calls his show? 14 Woodsmen? But anyway, it's a husband and wife. They have 14 sons. And the article was talking that they're getting ready to have their 15th, which is finally a girl. You know, but yeah. He's got 14 boys, and he does stuff on YouTube where he teaches them about guns and hunting and doing all sorts of stuff like that, right? And
sound like a potential domestic terrorist to me.
That sounds like a terrorist cell, a domestic terrorist cell.
Oh, dude, that's true. Yeah, there's a whole cell of them.
He said
14 sons is based in China pilled
to his entire own cell of domestic terrorists.
Fucking based.
Right.
It's so based, dude. Having so many kids is so based, yo.
Hell yeah.
It is. Yeah,
somebody
dude.
Got basted a few times.
Based in China pilled, dude.
Sons. I'm just saying.
14 sons.
Yeah. Older. And I'm like, you are a greater son. Greater. Greater party time son.
Yeah, ding, 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 ding.
You are greater.
Oh, you are greater having all XX chromosomes.
You just go ahead and turn the entire country into a re-education camp.
Right.
See? That's all it. That's really the only alternative left. Is you know, again, me with my inevitability talk. There really is no other alternative to controlling our society from a government standpoint, other than.
Shout out to everyone who doesn't like me. Sabido gigante. It's crazy how we get no respect here in America. We're constantly oppressed by the white man. We just want equality. You will never be equal to the white man because the height of your mentality is victimhood. So what you saying, racism doesn't exist? Is racism a pattern of behavior that has a measurable physical effect on anything? What is the material buildup of unchecked racism, and is it measured by volume, weight, or any other physical trait? Is melanin where racism collects and rests? Which state of matter is racism preserved in? At room temperature? Liquid? Gas? Plasma? Man, that sounds real intelligent, but it don't matter because we out here getting slaughtered every day. That's because you're soft. No one respects you because you don't put no work in. You scream systemic racism, then beg the same system that you say is racist for the right to exist. You're soft. You're not self-sufficient, and you rely on politicians to pass laws that force people to like you. And this is why no one likes you. Try being independent. Learn how to hunt, fish, or even kill tyrannical politicians instead of each other. And just maybe, you'll start to get some respect with your soft ass. You know what? I'm gonna start my...
Bravo, maestro. That was okay, here we go. Here's another one. Soviet anthem with the hammer and sickle. Exactly. Horatio says, then shoot up the dude. That'd be just like, and they have like 100 pianos behind it. It's just a Russian soldier's like shooting up all the pianos for the outro, dude. That'd be so tight. If you're wondering if I have an AK, you must know that It Was a Good Day by Ice Cube was written about me, so... must break you. Must break you. Get something more festive.
Germany was having trouble, what a sad, sad story. Needed a new leader to restore its former glory. Where, oh, where was he?
Where could that man be?
We looked around and then we found the man for you and me. And now it's
springtime for Hitler and Germany. Deutschland is happy and gay.
We're marching to a faster pace.
Yuck.
Let's see that. Look out, here comes the master race. Springtime for Hitler and Germany.
Dusseldorf, and that is why they call me Rolf. Don't be stupid, be a smarty. Come and join the Nazi party.
That's the thumbnail. We did it, folks. That's the thumbnail for the night. I'll ask Anna Voltis's permission. I don't know. It's supposed to be kind of a comedy show. It's like. Oh, dude, I'm not gonna have a channel. and then I'm like, they could be such a good skit live stream. I was following orders, dude. I was just following orders, dude. Like, government's ordained by God, dude. Government is ordained by God. Like, they told me to salute, dude. They told me to salute, and then the next one is like the SJW crowd, just like. And they see my live stream like, shit, delete. Oh my gosh, dude. No. Delete. No, we have the proof. I'm like, and the next one I'm like, Black Lives Matter. And then before I'm like, oh, is this Shisa? And then next one I'm like, but Black Lives Matter. And it's like, no, but we have these documents from a second ago. I'm like, no, I mean Black Lives Matter, dude. I mean Black Lives Matter, dude. I mean. Let's watch the other one. Let's watch the other one. This is what we do with our time. And Germany. I think I've gotten I might have gotten popped for it before. Oh yeah, it's this one. It's the Nathan Lane. But it doesn't have Heil Myself. That's a mistake.
Germany was having trouble, but a sense at Stormy needed a new leader to restore its former glory. Where, oh, where was he? Where
is the Nathan Lane man be?
We looked all round, and then we found the man for you.
So much smut, man. Get this out of here.
Is happy and gay. Ugh. We're marching to a faster pace. Look out, here comes the master race. Springtime for Hitler and Germany.
She got a pretzel? I don't know.
Rhineland's a fine land once more. Springtime for Hitler and Germany. Watch out, Europe, we're going on tour. Springtime for Hitler and Germany. Winter for Poland and France.
Springtime. Weird looking guy. There's another thumbnail. I think that might actually be it. That actually might be the thumbnail. Oh.
Heil myself. Heil to me. I'm the crowd who's out to change our history. Heil myself. Raise your hand. There's no greater dictator in the world.
There's a good one, too. Heil myself. Oh, put it in my Autobahn.
Everything I do for you. If you're looking for a war, here's World War II. Heil myself. Raise your beer. Every Hansi, Tansi, Nazi, stand and cheer. Heil myself. Heil myself.
Hansi, Tansi, Nazi.
Stand and cheer.
My goodness, everybody. Aren't you so glad that we did it together?
Left to make sure he doesn't get reelected, or whether it's just the simple fact that the vote is right. I don't think he's going to succeed in this. So
that is it, guys. I love you so much. Have a good night. 10 a.m. tomorrow. 10 a.m. tomorrow. We're back in the building. Back in the building. Very nice having Anavoltis on. I mean that. The dude is one of my favorite thinkers, yo. You know? I wouldn't say I'm trying to stump him, but I'm like, man, does it have to be like that? Does it have to be like that, Anavoltis? It might have to be. I'm not sure. I'm going to keep digging for le truth. That's French for the truth. You guys have a good one. Have a good one, everybody. Set of a Candace, major victory, Random Randy. This will be up as a podcast in a couple days. Good night, all the good people. Horatius, have a good one, y'all. See you tomorrow, 10 a.m., one true time zone. The artist, have a good one. Marie Gollet, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah? Call me ignorant. Seceding ignoramus. Seceding. Have a good one, y'all.